This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. And when my slaves ask you concerning me, then indeed I am near. I respond to the call of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So they should also respond to me and they should believe in me in order that they may be rightly guided. Dua is a way of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relationship between the slave and his master, us and Allah, is that of the fact that we are beggars to him, we are in need of him, and he is ever generous, ever merciful to us. He is the one who is constantly giving us what we are in need of. He gives us when we ask, and he also gives us when we do not ask. In fact, there are more things that he has given us without us asking him compared to those things which he has given us on our asking him. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And our needs are such that they never end. We are constantly dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly in need of his favors, of his mercy, of his ata', his generous bestowal. And we have learned in the etiquette of making dua that we should begin with the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we should ask him, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we wish, for what we need, for what we desire. And when it comes to glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that you can do this in a number of ways. You can do this in the form of mentioning his excellent names and attributes. For example, you begin your dua by saying Allahumma, O Allah. And the name Allah itself is very powerful. And it is such that it encompasses within it all of the names and attributes of Allah. Because Allah means the God, the only one who is worthy of worship. So who is the actual true God, the one who is worthy of worship, the one who is perfect in his ability, the one who has knowledge of everything, the one who has created everything, the one who knows everything, the one who is all wise. So the name Allah encompasses all of the names and attributes of Allah. So you can begin your dua simply by saying Allahumma, O Allah, Ya Allah. Or you say Rabbana, our Rabb, Rabbi, my Rabb, my Lord. And the name Rabb contains the meaning of Khaliq, Malik, Mudabbir, and even more, meaning the creator, the master, the owner, and the one who is taking care of his creation, the one who provides, who sustains. And you can also mention other names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are related to what you are specifically asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We learn in a hadith that a dua that Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ushiduka annaka la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu samad. الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَكَ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. That, O Allah, indeed I ask you, as I bear witness that there is no deity except you, the one eternal refuge, he who neither begets nor is born, nor is there to you any equivalent. So this is a way of beginning dua, that we first glorify and praise Allah Azza wa Jal. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that when a person intends to ask Allah for something, then he should begin with praise and glorification of Allah that Allah is deserving of. Then he should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he should make dua, because this is more likely that he will attain what he desires. We also learned that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man making dua. He was yad'u fi salah, he was making dua in his salah. And it seems like he was in tashahud. And in tashahud, you know, when you sit, you say at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawati wa tayyibat. Then you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you make dua. For example, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the man making dua during salah, and that man did not praise Allah, and he did not send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him that ajila hadha, he has made haste, he has been hasty. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that man, and he said to him and to those who were there that when any one of you prays, he should begin with the glorification of his Rabb and praise him. He should then invoke blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he should supplicate Allah for anything that he wishes. So this is the proper etiquette, that we mention the praise and glorification of Allah, then we send salat, and then we ask Allah. Otherwise, our dua would be hasty, and it means that we are rushing. It means that we are being impatient. It means that we are just being greedy for what we desire. Whereas remember that dua is actually worship. It is a form of showing servitude, subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua is the real fruit of dua is that you attain closeness to Allah. So if you rush through your dua and you just say, oh Allah, just give me this, you know, you're not spending any time glorifying Allah, you're not repeating the name of Allah, then you are being hasty. In the Quran, we see at the end of Surah Ali Imran, some du'as are mentioned. And all of those du'as begin with Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. So many du'as are there, and all of those du'as are beginning with Rabbana. So sometimes when you're making dua, you can just say, Rabbi. After every few words, Rabbi. Every few words, Allahumma. Ya Allah. And he mentioned the name of Allah. Mention his perfect, his beautiful names, because this is a form of glorifying him. And we see that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us how we should worship Him and how we should call upon Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirata Al-Mustaqeem, Sirata Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. You see, in Surah Al-Fatiha, we begin with the praise and glorification of Allah. We say, all praise is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who is the extremely merciful, the continuously merciful. He is the master, the sovereign of the day of recompense, the day of judgment. And we say, you alone we worship, you alone we seek help from. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have received your anger, and nor of those who are astray. So you see here, we learn the adab, that first begin with praise and then ask. So the first surah of the Quran teaches us the adab, the manner of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you recite Suratul Fatiha, bear in mind that Allah is Mujib, right? So He responds. When you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave has praised me. When you say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers. He says, my slave has praised me. When you say, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah answers. My slave has glorified me. And when you say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een, Allah says, this is between me and my slave. My slave will have what he asks for. And when you ask Allah for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for my slave. My slave will have what he asks for. And we learned that Surah Al-Fatiha is such that when you recite it and then you make dua, in hadith we learn that that you are granted it, meaning you never recite a single letter of Surah Al-Fatiha, but that you are granted it, meaning you are granted its reward. And if you make dua after reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, that dua is also accepted. It is granted. The same is the case for the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha and we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, why are we glorifying Allah? And why do we begin dua with the praise of Allah? You see, hamd is to describe someone with their most perfect attributes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most perfect attributes. He is all good, meaning every attribute, every name of His is excellent. The thing with the creation is that where they have good qualities, they also have some negative traits. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Al-Hamid. He is ever praiseworthy, meaning He is always perfect. So He is most deserving of praise. And He is most deserving of the fact that we praise Him. And we praise Him with hamd. Because hamd is not just to mention the most perfect traits of someone, but to do so with love, with respect, with adoration, and with sincerity, knowing that the one you are praising is worthy of that praise. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is like that. We learn in the Quran, فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To Allah belongs all praise. Meaning for Allah is due all praise, who is the Lord of the skies and the Lord of the earth, the Lord of the worlds. We learn, Alhamdulillahi فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. All praises for Allah. He is the creator of the skies and the earth, the originator of the skies and the earth. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises for Allah. He is the Lord of the worlds. He is the one who has created them. He is the one who provides every creature. Whatever blessing we have, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, it is from Allah. Any worldly blessing, even the blessing of guidance, this is from Allah. We learn in Surah Al-Kahf, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. All praises for Allah who has sent down the book on His slave. Meaning the sending of the book, the revelation of the book is a favor, is a blessing to mankind from Allah. So Allah deserves all praise. Alhamdulillah fil ula wal akhirah. In the beginning and in the end. In this world and also in the hereafter. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then we say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That Allah is extremely merciful. He is continuously merciful. So, in your dua, you should mention the names of Allah. Because when you mention the names of Allah, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. And then you say, Maliki Yawmiddin, that He is the sovereign of the Day of Judgment, the only one who will have power on the Day of Judgment. Everyone else, the entire creation will be powerless before Allah. He is the only king on the Day of Judgment, the only one with power on the Day of Judgment. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given temporary power and ability to people, but on the Day of Judgment, sovereignty will exclusively be for Allah alone, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And this shows us that we should remember not just the Jamal, but also the Jalal. Yani not just the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also His might. You see, sometimes we just focus on the names of Allah, which mention His mercy, His love, His kindness, His generosity, His forgiveness. And that is good. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and Maliki Yawm al-Din. So have fear of Him. So remind yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Shadeed, Shadeedul Iqab, severe in retribution. That He is Khabir, He is fully aware of what we are doing. So we should have that fear also. So when you're making dua in your heart, have that love and also ta'zeem, also respect. Bring to mind, to heart, the jamal, the perfect beauty of Allah, and also the jalal, the perfect might, greatness of Allah. And bring to your heart both hope and fear. Because sometimes when people are making dua, they become a bit disrespectful before Allah, where they begin to speak as though they're speaking to a child, or they begin to say things which are not appropriate, as if they're testing the power of Allah. So we should be fearful. Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then we say, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. And this is a form of wasila. Remember that we discussed earlier that when we make dua, we should also use wasila. Wasila is a means of nearness to Allah. And one of the forms of wasila is that when we're making dua, we mention something good that we have done. Not to show off, not to demand a reward from Allah, that, oh Allah, I have done this, so you reward me. No, not for that reason. Rather, we mention a good deed of ours. Why? Because good deeds are a means of drawing closer to Allah. So when you mention something that you have done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will draw you closer to Allah. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That, oh Allah, you alone we worship. Now I am worshiping you, and otherwise in my life also, I worship only you. I do not associate any partner with you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we seek help from. And this is so beautiful. First is ibadah, and then is isti'ana. First is worship, and then there is seeking of help from Allah. And sometimes we think that, you know, we don't need to be religious as long as we are spiritual. Subhanallah. And we just want to be spiritual, that we have a lot of love for God and we have a lot of hope in God and we praise God. But when it comes to the commands that Allah has given, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live our lives, we don't want to do that. So this is not the proper way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that first comes ibadah and then isti'ana. And this also shows us that when we're making dua, then before we seek help from Allah, we should do something good. So for example, give some charity, make some dhikr, do some tasbih, send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite some Quran, pray nafil prayer, you know, something, some act of worship, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And then we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. This is so amazing. Surah Al-Fatiha is a surah we have to recite in every salah, every day, right? Multiple times. And we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something in Surah Al-Fatiha, and that is guidance. And you would think that, you know, if you ask for something once, I mean, that should be sufficient. But no, it is not sufficient. It is not enough. Because we are always in need of guidance. Every moment. Every moment. And you think about it. In the first rak'ah, we ask Allah for guidance. And then a few moments later, we ask Allah for guidance again. This means that yes, we needed guidance a few moments ago, we need guidance now, and we will need guidance a few moments later, and then after that, and after that. Every moment of our lives, we are in need of guidance. We are in need of increasing in guidance. So one of the scholars, he said that people are in need of guidance more than they are in need of sustenance and help otherwise. Because when a person has guidance, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them sustenance. Because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, and who will fear Allah? The one who is guided. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him. Out from what? From his troubles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him out of his difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, will give him sustenance from where he cannot even expect, meaning the person did not even imagine that he could get sustenance from there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him. And this is why we are in need of guidance. Guidance is the most important thing. So, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. That, oh Allah, we want the path of those people whom you were pleased with, not the path of those whom you were angry with or those who are astray. Who are those people who receive the anger of Allah? Those who know, yet they disobey. And who are those who are lost, who are astray? People who don't even know how to please Allah, how to worship Allah. They don't even have knowledge. So Surah Al-Fatiha teaches us how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That first of all, we learn in Surah Al-Fatiha that we should make dua, because we are being taught to ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So we learn that we should make dua, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we learn from Surah Al-Fatiha that we should begin dua with the praise and glorification of Allah, just as Surah Al-Fatiha begins, with the praise and glorification of Allah. Thirdly, we learn in Surah Al-Fatiha that we should use wasila, meaning we should first worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform some act of worship that is pleasing to Allah, or mention that, and then make dua. This is the proper way of making dua. When we see the sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his manner? We learn that he would also begin his dua with glorification and praise of Allah. In a hadith, we learn that when the Prophet ﷺ got up at night to offer the tahajjud prayer, he would say, Allahumma lakal hamd, O Allah, for you is all praise. Anta qayyimu samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. You are the holder of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in them. Walakal hamd, laka mulku samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. For you is all praise, and you own the dominion of the skies and the earth and whoever is in them. Walaka alhamd nuru samawati wal ard. For you is all praise, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Walaka alhamd, for you is all praise, anta alhaq, you are the truth. Wa wa'duka alhaq, and your promise is true. Wa liqa'uka haq, and your meeting is true. Wa qawluka haq, your word is true. Wal jannatu haq, paradise is true. Wan naru haq, fire is true. Wan nabiyyuna haq, and the prophets are true. Wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haq, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true. Was sa'atu haq, the hour is true. Allahumma laka aslamtu, O Allah, to you I surrender. Wabika amantu, in you I believe. Wa alayka tawakkaltu, and in you I put my trust. Wa ilayka anabtu, to you I return. Wabika khasantu, and with your help I argue. Wa ilayka hakamtu, and I take you as a judge. Faghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. So forgive me for whatever I have sent ahead and whatever I have delayed. Meaning, forgive me my previous and future sins. So much praise, and then He was seeking forgiveness from Allah. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ. And whatever I have done secretly and whatever I have done openly, Ya Allah, forgive me for that. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. You are the one who makes things go forward and others backward. There is none to be worshipped but you. So praise at the beginning and praise at the end. And in the middle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for forgiveness. Subhanallah. And this dua is so beautiful. There's so much praise and glorification of Allah. And what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for? For forgiveness. He is asking for forgiveness when all of his sins were already forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, right, that all of his sins, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. All of his sins were forgiven. Yet he would seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully. So if we want to learn what the best way, the most beautiful way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example is the best example for us. And this is why we have been told that if you love Allah, then you should follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you follow him, then Allah will love you. Because look at how beautiful his way was. And if you begin your tahajjud prayer like this, when you get up and you begin your tahajjud, this is how you begin. Of course you will feel closer to Allah. And that is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, he draws near his slaves and he invites them to worship him, to call upon him, to ask him. And if you praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, then you will feel that love for Allah. You will feel closeness to Allah. So we see here that, and another thing we see over here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised and glorified Allah more than the words he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. Meaning the words of hamd were more than the words of dua. And sometimes we can do that. That we spend more time praising and glorifying Allah and less time asking. Because you know why? When you will praise and glorify Allah, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more than what you could ask for and more than what you could even imagine. More than what you could think of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So spend time glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learned that on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will glorify and praise Allah with words that he will be taught at that time. He glorified and praised Allah so much here, but on the Day of Judgment, he will be taught some special words with which to glorify and praise Allah. So we should busy our tongue with the glorification and praise of Allah in general, but specifically when making dua. Now, when it comes to glorification and praise of Allah, you know, one is to do tasbih and the other is to do tahmid. Tasbih is to glorify Allah. Tahmid is to praise Allah. Tasbih is, for example, you say Subhanallah. And tahmid is, for example, you say Alhamdulillah. Now, when it comes to tasbih, what is tasbih? Tasbih is that you are saying that Allah is perfect, that Allah is free from any imperfection, any fault, any deficiency, any error, any resemblance to the creation, any partner or equal or child or anything like that, that Allah is far above and beyond even the things that people imagine about Allah, or the false assumptions that people have about Allah. So Allah is perfect. This is in essence what Subhanallah means. And we are taught to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that fasabbih bihamdi rabbik وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Glorify Allah with His praise. فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Here, the Prophet ﷺ is being instructed to glorify Allah. Allah glorifies Himself. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Glory be to the one who took his slave on the night journey. We learn that the Prophet ﷺ is taught in the Quran to glorify Allah بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِبْكَارِ, in the evening and the morning, at the two ends of the day, at the beginning and at the end. The believers are told, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Glorify Allah in the morning and in the evening. The heavens and the earth, glorify Allah. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. Whoever is within the heavens and the earth also, glorify Allah. We learn in the Quran that the skies, the earth, everything within them, the birds, all of them glorify Allah. Even thunder glorifies Allah. The angels glorify Allah. Dawood alayhi salam, when he would glorify Allah, the mountains and the birds would join him. So everything glorifies Allah. The angels do so. The carriers of the throne, the angels that are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they glorify him. And when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in the day or in the night, we are also glorifying Allah, right? وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. That when you get up, then glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because of tasbih that people are, or rather the creation is given sustenance, as we learn in one of the narrations. And the words of tasbih, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, these words are ahabbul kalami ilallah, most beloved to Allah. So think about it, when you're making dua and you begin with words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, then instantly you are drawing closer to Allah. You are inviting His mercy. And we learn in a hadith that إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُحِبُّ الْحَمْدِ, that indeed your Lord loves hamd. So tasbih and also hamd. We also learned that there is nothing more beloved to Allah than hamd, than praise. So we should praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, like I said, but also when making dua. And you see, sometimes we are feeling very uncomfortable, very suffocated or lonely in our thoughts, in our heads. And, we begin to feel very negative because of what someone has said or because of what we think someone is saying or someone is doing. We feel so trapped in such negative thoughts. And sometimes these thoughts are there is some basis for thinking this way, and other times there is no basis. It's just imaginary. Regardless, when we're feeling like this, then we need to get out of that condition. How do you come out of that condition? Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you don't even know what to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Then what should you do? Just start glorifying Allah. You see, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ, that certainly we know that your chest feels constricted because of what people say. And wow, what kind of atrocious things people would say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such lies, inappropriate things they would say about him. So of course he would feel uncomfortable. What was the solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him? Go respond to them? Go refute them? Busy yourself in answering them? No. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Glorify with praise of your Lord and be of those who make sajda. Busy yourself in the tasbih and in the tahmid of Allah. When you will do that, your heart will feel at ease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of those who are talking against you. Sometimes we feel very stingy with our money. that, you know, we are afraid that we're going to have little left. You know, it's Ramadan. A lot of people have to give zakat in the month of Ramadan, and the thought of giving zakat makes them afraid, calculating what they have to give. Sometimes people have other fears, or there's general anxiety. And subhanAllah, these days, every other person has some issue, you know, that they're struggling with, because of which they are anxious, they're afraid, they're worried. And so we need to increase in the glorification and praise of Allah. In a hadith, we learned that whoever is such that he is afraid to spend his wealth, or he is afraid of some enemy, or the darkness of the night frightens him, and other things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, then such a person should increase in saying Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. In another narration, we learned such a person should increase in saying Subhanallahi wa bihamdi. So tasbih, tahmid, is not just a way of glorifying Allah. Yani when you do tasbih, this is not just for Allah. This is for you also. You describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. You mention it. Why? Because that is what will fill you with light. That is the source of comfort for you. That is what will bring you relief. Because when you do this, when you do tasbih, you draw closer to Allah. When you draw closer to Allah, you will receive His mercy. And that mercy will envelop you. And it will be a means of taking away your grief, your worry, your anxiety, your troubles. So, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, don't underestimate the power of these words. In a hadith, we learned that when you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, then the space between the skies and the earth is filled up, yani with reward. This is how beneficial these words are. And you see, sometimes our sins hold us back from calling upon Allah. What should we do then? Do tasbih. Because when a person does tasbih, then their sins are forgiven, even if they are like the foam of the sea. And when you say words of tasbih, these words of praise, glorification, they ascend and they revolve around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if they're making mention of you. Because we learn in the Quran that remember me and I will remember you. On the day of judgment, these words will be heavy. Ibn al-Qayyim said that whoever constantly does tasbih, then his face will become bright and he will constantly receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who constantly seeks forgiveness from Allah, then the things that the doors that are closed for him open up. And we learn that those who praise Allah will be the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slaves on the day of judgment. So what are some ways in which we can glorify and praise Allah at the beginning of our dua and also in general? First of all, the first tasbih is Subhanallah. Subhanallah means glory be to Allah. And we learn in a hadith that if a person says Subhanallah 100 times before the sun rises and before the sun sets, then this is better for him than 100 camels. Think about it. If you could get 100 Teslas every day, then you would do whatever is required, as long as it's not giving millions of dollars in money. If it's something you have to say, you would say it readily. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, saying Subhanallah 100 times before sunrise, before sunset, is better for you than 100 camels. You see, these days, the time before iftar, right, when you are, let's say, laying the table, prepping iftar, just doing the last minute things, as you are doing that, busy your tongue in the dhikr of Allah. Just keep saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. After you pray Fajr, a lot of people tend to take some rest. So as you lay down at that time also, busy your tongue in the tasbih of Allah. These words are words that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has chosen. meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these words. And these words are such that they express the veneration of the majesty of Allah. A man asked Ali radiallahu anhu that what is subhanallah? What does this mean? He said, ta'zeemu jalalillah. It is veneration of the majesty of Allah. Meaning this is a way of glorifying Allah, mentioning His perfect greatness. And when you say subhanallah, basically you are declaring the oneness of Allah, right? It is the basis of tawheed. And because you believe in the oneness of Allah, because He is all perfect. This is a pillar of iman. And only Allah is the one who is deserving of tasbih. Why? Because He is the only one who is perfect. Right? He is the only one who is al-hayyul qayyum, alladhi la yamut, wal-insu wal-jin yamutun. He is the only one who is ever living, who will not die. And people and jinn, they will die. And the creation will die. So only Allah is perfect. And only He is worthy of such praise and glorification. Another way in which we can glorify Allah is that we say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Glory be to Allah and praise is to Him. Meaning, I glorify Allah. And along with that, I also praise Allah. And these words, we learn in a hadith that these are words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for His angels. Meaning, these are the words that angels say. And this speech is the best speech. It is the most virtuous speech that you say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And when you say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, what are you doing? You are doing two things. First of all, you are declaring that Allah is free of all faults, right? That He is above any imperfection. I mentioned to you the meaning of subhanAllah earlier, that Allah is perfect. He is beyond, above any imperfection, fault, deficiency, error, similarity to the creation, having an equal, anything like that. He is far above that. So when you say subhanAllah, you are negating anything negative or inappropriate, unbefitting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you say along with that, وَبِحَمْدِهِ, and I also praise Him, while praising Him, I glorify Allah. What are you doing? Hamd is to mention the perfect traits of Allah, right? So now you are affirming the most perfect traits of Allah. So this is complete and perfect praise. That on the one hand, you negate anything negative, anything inappropriate, anything unbefitting. And on the other hand, you affirm those things, those traits which are befitting, which are appropriate, which Allah is worthy of. So this is a perfect praise. And this is real tawheed. That yes, our Lord is free of any fault. And He is perfectly good. He is all good. So subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. You see, sometimes there are some negative thoughts that we may have about Allah. At those times, say subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. No, my Lord is perfect. He is always praiseworthy. He is always good. He has not made a mistake. He has not done anything wrong. He has not been unjust. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Another way in which we can glorify Allah is that we say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azeem. Similar words with the addition of Subhanallahil Azeem, that how perfect Allah is, and I praise Him, and how perfect Allah is, the most great. Subhanallahil Azeem. And these words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are light on the tongue, but they are heavy in the scale. And they are beloved to Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these words. An easy way of earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an easy way of earning His approval, that we say these words, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azeem. And Azeem is the one who is ever great. So great that our intellect, our eyes, our ears, our mind cannot encompass his greatness. We cannot fathom his greatness. He is greater than what we can even imagine, than what we can comprehend. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is why, glory be to Allah, who is al-Azim, who is so great. We learn in Ayatul Kursi, وَسِعَ كُرُسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And he is so great that he is perfect in all of his attributes, and no one can praise him the way that he is worthy of. And no matter how much someone praises him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even greater. So he is even he is deserving of even more praise. Another way in which we can glorify and praise Allah is that we say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And these words, we learn that when a person says them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers. And when you say subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Allah says, you have spoken the truth. When you say alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, Allah replies, sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Allah answers, you have spoken the truth. You say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah answers, you have spoken the truth. So busy your tongue with these words. Another way in which we can glorify Allah is subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. Glory be to Allah, and I praise Him, praise be to Him. I seek forgiveness from Allah, and I repent to Him. These words, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ would say these words a lot. And Aisha radiallahu anha noticed that. And she inquired, she asked him about that how come you say these words so much? So he explained that my Lord informed me that I would see a sign in my ummah. So when I see it, I often recite these words. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That when the conquest is there, the help of Allah arrives, the conquest is there, you see people entering Islam in groups, then glorify Allah and seek forgiveness from Him. And this shows us that a very beautiful lesson, that when we see the good result of our effort. So for example, we are striving to complete a project and then we reach its completion. For example, we complete an act of worship. You see, for example, your child accomplishing something. You and your child worked very hard on that. Then what should you do? Glorify Allah and seek forgiveness from Him also. Glorify Allah that, Ya Allah, it is only because of You that I was able to do this, that we were able to do this. So all praise is Yours. All thanks to You. The credit goes to You. And I seek forgiveness from You. Why? Because I know my shortcomings. I know the errors that I have made in this journey. So You forgive me for all those mistakes. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Another way in which we can glorify Allah is that we say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqi, warida nafsi, wazinata arshi, wa midada kalimati. These words are so beautiful. In a hadith we learned that once the Prophet ﷺ was with Juwayriya radiallahu anha, and in the morning after Fajr, Juwayriya radiallahu anha was, you know, in her musalla, in her prayer place, and after her salah, she was, you know, busy in dhikr. The Prophet ﷺ left, and then after some time he returned, and she was still sitting there glorifying and praising Allah, and you know, doing ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ asked her that, have you been sitting here since I left? And she said, yes. He then said that since leaving you, I said three times four phrases, which if weighed against all that you have done during this period would prove to be heavier. What are these words? Subhanallahi wa bihamdi. Glory be to Allah and I praise Him. Allah is free from imperfection and I begin with His praise. Adada khalqi. as many times as the number of his creatures. Waridha nafsi, in accordance with his good pleasure. Wazinat arshi, equal to the weight of his throne. Wamidada kalimati, and equal to the ink that may be used in recording his words. So the Prophet ﷺ said this three times, and he said that if these words are weighed against all that you have been saying and doing since the morning, these words would be heavier in terms of reward. You see, sometimes you are busy in the morning. If you have children, if you have young children who are dependent on you, your family needs you in the morning, you don't have the luxury to sit in your musalla and continue to worship Allah. So there's a difference between those who know and those who don't know. When you have ilm of how to glorify and praise Allah in such beautiful words, you don't miss out on rewards. So make sure that you say these words in the morning, no matter how busy you are. These words, they mean, first of all, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, we have discussed this earlier, adada khalqi, meaning I glorify Allah as many times as the number of his creatures. And what is the number of the creatures of Allah? It's immeasurable. We can't even count, because every second, every moment, more and more creatures are being created. You think about it. If you consider just the number of the angels, that on Bayt al-Ma'mur, thousands of angels worship Allah, right? And they only get one chance. And every day, a fresh group of angels gets to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there. And they get their turn only once. So every day, there are thousands and thousands of angels, all right? So multiply the number of days by 70,000. That's just the number of the angels. And how many days is it? Has it been? And when you study the earth, it's certainly millions of years old. How many days has it been that every day a fresh group of angels comes and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then if you look at the tiniest of creatures, for example, a virus, a bacteria, tiny, tiny. They multiply so quickly. So many of them are there. So adad khalqi, what's that number? Of his creatures, we can't count them. So adad khalqi, infinitely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. None knows the forces, the troops of your Lord except He. So this means that you are glorifying Allah limitlessly, infinitely. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqi, waridha nafsi, as in accordance with his good pleasure, meaning I glorify him with as much glorification and praise that he would be pleased with. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for himself. Basically what you're saying is that I do not have enough words, and I don't know how much, even if I were to sit all day, all night, it would not be sufficient. So I praise and glorify Allah as much as He would be pleased with. Wazinat arshi, as much as the weight of His throne, and the throne is the largest, the biggest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kursi is smaller than the throne. And about the kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The kursi encompasses, it has the capacity for the heavens and the earth combined. And it's way bigger than the heavens and the earth. So basically, more than the known universe. The kursi is far greater than that. And the throne, the arsh, is even greater than that. Allahu Akbar. So I praise and glorify Allah equal to the weight of his throne. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ, and I glorify and praise Allah equal to the ink that may be used in recording the words of Allah. And what are the kalimat of Allah? The kalimat of Allah are both kauni and shari. Kauni is basically those words of Allah of his decree, okay, which are far too great, far too many, far too powerful to be contained in writing. For example, we say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah. Why? Because they're too great, they're too powerful. And the word of Allah is the word with which He decrees, right? For example, kun, be. And kalimat of Allah also include the kalimat that He has spoken to His chosen slaves, meaning His sharia, the books that He has revealed, the revelation that He has sent. And the words of Allah are so many that we learn in the Quran that even if all of the trees were pens and the ocean were ink, and then after that, the oceans were replenished with seven more oceans, the words of Allah would still not run out. There would still be more words to write. Allahu Akbar. So I praise and glorify Allah that much. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqi, wa ridha nafsi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Another way we can glorify Allah is that we say Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. That Allah is truly great. Praise be to Allah in abundance, and glory be to Allah in the morning and in the evening. We learn in a hadith that a man said these words at the beginning of salah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked afterwards that who said these words, and the man said, "I did." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the gates of the heavens were opened for these words. The gates of the heavens, abwab as-sama, were opened for these words. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who was there at the time, he said that I never stopped saying these words since I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that. So this means that we should also say it at the beginning of salah. Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. And especially on the day of Eid, we should say these words, because that is the day of takbirat. Then another way we can glorify Allah is that we say subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. That glory and praises to you, O Allah. Blessed is your name. Exalted is your majesty. None has the right to be worshipped but you. We can say these words at the beginning of salah. Another way is that we say subhanallah, la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallahi wa bihamdi. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reported that these words are words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most. Because in these words, you are glorifying Allah, you are declaring His oneness, you are saying that He is worthy of all praise, that He is able to do all things, that there is no power and might except with Allah. And again, you glorify and praise Allah. Then another way is to say, Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu wa ilayka yarji'u al-amru kullu. That, O Allah, for you is all praise and all matters return to you. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Messenger of Allah, teach me a dua so that Allah will benefit me because of it. And He teach me something that I can say so that I can, so that Allah will benefit me. Allah will give me what I am in need of. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him these words. Because in these words, we are not only praising and glorifying Allah, but we are also expressing His oneness. That to Allah return all matters, and His perfect power, that nothing escapes Allah. Another way we can glorify Allah is that we say, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, mil'u samawat wa mil'u al-ard wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'du. That, O Allah, our Rabb, for you is praise that would fill the heavens and the earth and fill that which will please you besides them. And these words we can say when we get up from rukur. You know, sometimes when we get up from, actually most of the time when people get up from rukur, they just say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana lakal hamd. Rabbana lakal hamd is also good. But we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also say this, that Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. O Allah, our Lord, You deserve all praise. How much mil us samawat, the fill of the skies, meaning as much praise that would fill the skies. Wamil ul ard, the fill of the earth, and the fill of whatever you wish after that, meaning whatever is greater than the heavens and the earth combined, even. So we can say this in salah. Another way we can glorify Allah, and inshallah we will conclude with this, is Subhanallahi adada ma khalaq. Subhanallahi mil'a ma khalaq. Subhanallahi adada ma fil ardi was sama'. Subhanallahi mil'a ma fis sama'i wal ard. Subhanallahi mil'a ma khalaq. Subhanallahi adada ma ahsa kitabuh. Wa subhanallahi mil'a kulli shay'. Glory be to Allah as much as the number of his creatures. Glory be to Allah as much as what would fill the creation. Yani the fill of all the creation. Glory be to Allah, the number of what is in the earth and the sky. Glory be to Allah as much as what would fill what is in the sky and the earth. Glory be to Allah as much as the fill of all that he has created. Glory be to Allah as the number of what his book has enumerated. And glory be to Allah, the fill of everything. So this is one way that we can praise and glorify Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to glorify him in the morning, in the evening. May he give us the ability to be of those who remember him, a lot, who call upon him by his beautiful names. Ya badi'u samawat, ya hayyu ya qayyum, inni as'aluk. So words of praise, learn them, memorize them, use them, say them with your heart, and also share them. Teach them to those around you so that inshallah people find closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Insha'Allah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.